Unit 12. The American Dream. The dream to construct a building to house everyone and everything connected with world trade began in the early 1960s. After much deliberation, Minoru Yamasaki was commissioned over more than a dozen other architects to work with the firm of Emery, Roth and Sons to design this massive edifice. His task was evident. The building must have 12 million square feet of floor space on a 16-acre parcel of land, accommodate the new facilities for the Hudson Tubes and subway connections, and be done within the $500 million budget. The relatively small site combined with the vast space needs meant that the only way to go was up. The development would dwarf its neighbors and change the New York landscape and skyline at the bottom of Manhattan. In order to accommodate the 9 million square feet of office space, Yamasaki made the decision that a two-tower development would be best. This would serve the dual purpose of giving sufficient office area on each floor and allowing a manageable structure system while taking advantage of the superb views. The twin towers would be 110 floors each, rising to a height of 1,353 feet, 412 meters. From the observation decks at the tops of the towers, it would be possible to see 45 miles in every direction. When asked why he designed two 110-story buildings instead of one 220-story building, he replied flippantly, "I didn't want to lose the human touch." The first act in the construction process was the excavation. The 1.2 million cubic yards of earth and rock that were removed were used to create 23 acres of fill in the Hudson River adjacent to the WTC site. This landfill project was subsequently developed as Battery Park. The excavation, besides providing the foundation for this enormous construction, would house parking garages, subway terminals and tubes, and shopping concourses. Yamasaki believed that all buildings must be strong in the context of being dominant. He felt that each building should be a monument to the virility of our society. The structural system, while possessing this strength, is also impressively simple. The 208-foot front wall is essentially a pre-assembled steel web with columns on 39-inch centers, providing the wind bracing necessary for a building of this height, allowing the central core to take only the gravity loads. This very light, economical configuration would result in keeping the wind bracing in the most efficient place, the outside shell of the building. In this way, the wind force would not be transferred through the floor membrane to the core. 33-inch deep floors made of prefabricated steel trusses would act as supports to stiffen the outside walls against the buckling forces of the wind load pressures. There would be no interior columns in the office spaces, an amazing feat as there would be 40,000 square feet of office space on each of the upper floors. In total, there would be 7 buildings in the complex, the twin towers standing 110 stories high, 4 smaller towers, and a central plaza. Also, there would be 7 underground levels containing services, shopping, parking garages, and a subway station. When completed, there would be 10 million square feet of leasable space, or an acre of rentable space on each floor of each tower. The elevator system was intended to be fast, efficient, and space-saving. express elevators opening onto the 41st and 74th floors would serve the sky lobbies. From these floors and from the plaza, four banks of elevators would carry passengers to each of the three zones. Tenders posted, contractors hired, and the preliminary materials purchased, the groundbreaking ceremony was held on August 5, 1966. Some offices were ready for occupancy in 1970, but the ribbon-cutting ceremony wasn't held until April 4, 1973. Final cost, $750 million. The institution of the WTC would become a symbol of commerce and economic superiority to the world. International businesses recognized that it would be advantageous to have offices there. Thus, the working population of the WTC would incorporate a cross-section of nationalities, not just Americans. The buildings would be occupied by as many as 50,000 people daily during the week. Additionally, thousands of tourists could be in the centre at any given time, visiting the restaurant, Windows on the World, atop one WTC, the indoor and outdoor observation decks on two WTC, as well as the shops, exhibition pavilions, and the 250-room hotel. A complex of this size is not without some problems, including fire. Numerous small fires and one major one on February 13, 1975, occurred over the years. However, on February 26, 1993, a terrorist attack on the WTC caused the largest incident ever handled by the City of New York's fire department. The blaze, resulting from the ignition of a nitrurea bomb with hydrogen cylinders to add impact and located in the parking garage, required the response of 84 engine companies, 60 truck companies, and hundreds of personnel. Firefighters maintained a presence at the site for 28 days, guarding against the possibility of further fires caused by the blast. Six people died and 1,042 were injured. The towers survived. After this violent incident failed in its intended purpose of destroying the WTC, who could have envisaged an assault as disastrous as the one inflicted on it and the United States on September 11, 2001? Who could have conceived an attack so vicious it would eclipse almost every man-made catastrophe? Who could have foreseen that the American dream would blur into a terrible nightmare? At 8:45 a.m. New York local time, a hijacked 767 commercial airliner with a full load of jet fuel for a transcontinental flight collided with one WTC, the North Tower, with enough impetus to carry it through to the opposite side. Initially, terrorism was not a consideration in the mind of the public. This was merely a dreadful accident.